Ladies and gentlemen, it's indeed a privilege to be before you again tonight for the final negative of the evening, and to deny a lot of the gross misrepresentations you just heard for the past 30 minutes. Friends, there were some things that Bruce said that I said that you and the listening audience know that I did not say. Those words never came out of my mouth. For example, I never said that simply breath in a body died, or that Jesus was only a human, or that only a human suffered, or that only a human died. These are things that I did not say. That's a gross misrepresentation of the truth of God's Word. Give me Bruce's chart number 313. Bruce mentioned the word echad, the Hebrew word for one. Oh, this is his questions. I'm sorry. Go back to the chart you just had up there about echad. Chart number 13. He brings up the word echad, and he says that the word echad means a plurality of persons, a plurality. There's a plurality. That's it. I'm sorry. That's the chart. Number 14. Notice here he's got, they shall be one echad flesh, and we will become one echad people. The Lord our God is one echad Lord, as if the word echad only means a plurality. Friends, give me my chart number 48. Chart number 48. The word echad, one, is found over 960 times in the Old Testament. And over 900 times the word signifies a numerical only one, not a united plurality. Notice Genesis 1 and 5, he called the first day. Morning, evening, and morning were the first day. Echad, is that a plurality of days, friends? No, that's a numerical one. Leviticus 14 and 12, and the priest shall take one he lamb. Now, was he out there grabbing a plurality of he lambs to sacrifice? No, that's a singularity. That's a numerical one. Echad refers to a numerical one. Numbers 17 and 5, one young bullock, one ram, one lamb. These are numerical ones. I've told you in the first speech that Bruce denies the absolute numerical oneness of the Godhead. Joshua 19, 12 through 14. The king of Jericho won. Was the king of Jericho a trinity? Was he a plurality of persons? The king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, won. Friends, that's a numerical one. The king of Jerusalem won. The king of Hebron won. The king of Jarmuth won. And it goes on and on and on. Echad refers to a numerical single one. Ezekiel 33, 24. Son of man, they that inhabit the waste of the land of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one. Was Abraham a plurality of persons, friends? No. That's a gross misrepresentation that echad is a plurality. It does not only mean a plurality. Very limited use is plurality. Give me my chart number 46. Notice that Bruce has on the top here, they shall be one flesh. Mark chapter 19, or Mark chapter 10, verse 8 says, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. So Bruce has made a comparison between the oneness of the Godhead, notice here at the bottom, between the oneness of the flesh. The word one in Mark chapter 10 and verse 8 in Greek is mia. It is a feminine participle. One flesh. This phrase in Greek is literally eis sarkameon. It literally means into one female flesh. This refers to the sexual union of a husband and a wife. 1 Corinthians 6:16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Now, friends, is Bruce honestly affirming that the Godhead is one in a sexual union like a husband and wife? And if not, then his point is moot. Give me my chart number 9. Now, Bruce said he liked my apples, but he really didn't deal with those apples. He referred to one apple hood. I call it the apple nature. But three fruit that possess one apple nature equal what? Three apples. Just as much as three persons that possess one divine nature. And he didn't have anything to say about, did he? He doesn't believe that the Father is God. He doesn't believe that the Father is deity. He believes that the Father possesses deity just as much as this cup, this bottle possesses water. But if I extract the water out of the cup, what do I have left? I've still got a cup. I've still got a bottle. But if you extract deity, if you extract divine nature from the Father, what will you have left? Nothing. Because the Father doesn't possess God. He doesn't possess deity. He doesn't possess divine nature. The Father is divine nature. It's not something He possesses. It's something He is. And if three persons possess one divine nature, it equals three gods. Give me Bruce's chart number 125. He went back to John chapter 16 and verse 13, and he said that my rebuttal to his argument was a bunch of gobbledygook. Friends, I gave you a detailed exegete. I gave you the Greek words and their definitions. The phrase "of himself" is the Greek word apo. It means out of. My chart number 26. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak out of Himself. It denotes source. It is a recapitulation of John 14:26. That when the Holy Ghost comes, He will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. This doctrine that we teach, this doctrine that we preach, it didn't come by some spiritual gift. It didn't come by, you know, one of the nine spiritual gifts. It came from the words that Jesus Christ spoke. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which was first spoken by our Lord and was confirmed unto us by those that heard Him? This New Testament doctrine came from the lips of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Put up my chart number. Give me my chart number 1. These are the questions that I asked Bruce. John 17:1, what does the phrase "the hour has come" refer to? He agrees that it refers to the passion of the Christ on the cross. In 2 Corinthians 13:1, how many persons fulfill the law of two or three witnesses? We really didn't get into that. Do the personal pronouns he, his, she, hers, and thou always refer to a separate and distinct person? And he says that I misrepresented him on that. Friends, he answered the question no. He answered the question no. Number 4, do plural pronouns demand plurality of persons and or plural antecedents? Again, he answered the question no. He said not in reference to majesty. So it doesn't always refer to it. Give me Bruce's chart number 14. We've already dealt with that. Give me Bruce's chart number 139. All right, give me my chart number 15. Bruce has went back to his arguments of John 17. And we want you to notice in John 17:24 it says, Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And Bruce has made a play on this foundation of the world. The phrase "before the foundation of the world" does not demand a literal pre-existence. Luke 11:50 says that all the blood of the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world be required of this generation. Friends, did the prophets literally pre-exist before the foundation of the world and their blood was shed? No. Ephesians 1:4 says, according as He hath chosen us, the church, in Him before the foundation of the world. Friends, was it the plan? Sure it was the plan. It was predestinated that God would have a church before the foundation of the world. But that doesn't mean we literally pre-existed. Revelation 13:8, that all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Does that mean that Jesus Christ was literally crucified before the world was ever formed? No. A.T. Robertson's word picture says, from the foundation of the world is a bold metaphor for the purpose of God. So what does it mean? Chart number 17. We gave you a detailed exegete, and we let Scripture explain Scripture. That the glory, the hour is come, John 17, 1 through 5, and Bruce agrees. It's talking about the cross. John 12, 23, the hour is come. So how was Calvary before the world was? 1 Peter 1, 19 through 20, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb, foreordained before the foundation of the world. Friends, it was foreordained that God would manifest Himself in flesh and die upon that cross for our sins. It was foreordained. Yes, friends, it was planned. It was foreordained. That's Bible truth. Give me Bruce's chart number 239. Now give me my chart number 62. Friends, Bruce did not refer to any of the rebuttals that I made here. Bruce did not refer to any part of these Old Testament passages that declare that God did it alone and He did it by Himself. But the Bible says that He did it by wisdom, by understanding, by His knowledge. And we asked Him, does wisdom and understanding of those separate persons in the Godhead? He did it by wisdom. He did it by understanding. The Bible says that He, by the word of the Lord, were the heavens made. What was that word? For He spake, and it was done. And Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. It's not talking about a distinction of persons, because the Old Testament declares He did it alone. He did it by Myself. Bruce's chart number 242. Now, Bruce said over and over again that my position is that the Son is not God. Friends, I didn't say that. My chart number 47. I thought it was pretty clear on my chart. However, we have no problem with the King James Version translation, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." We affirm what? The Son is God, manifest in the flesh. Now Bruce says, Jason affirms the Son is not God. There it is. Jason affirms the Son is God, manifest in flesh. Give me Bruce's chart number 57. Now Bruce talked about the Spirit. Give me Bruce's chart number 71. We'll get back to the Spirit and the prayers and all that in just a minute. Bruce's chart number 71. I'm so glad that Bruce is searching olivetree.com, the olive tree forums there, because if he does a little more reading, maybe he'll learn some more about the Godhead and some other issues that we discussed on the olive tree. That picture, however, is reversed. I wish next time you get it, it kind of looks odd to me, Bruce. But I'm glad that he is doing some studying, and Minister Charles Johnson, the moderator for that website, will be happy that Bruce is doing some studying on the website there. Give me Bruce's chart number 81. Bruce said, I believe that He told us that the context is Jesus was only human. Now, friends, have you ever heard me tonight make the statement that Jesus was only human? The Son is God, manifest in the flesh. Give me Bruce's chart number 57. Bruce's chart number 57. All right, so he made a play on this word Spirit. And he's given us a definition here from Thayer's Greek English Lexicon. Friends, when the Bible says in Luke 23:46 that Jesus gave up the ghost, now is that talking about He gave up the Holy Ghost? Or is that talking about He gave up the Spirit of life that makes each and every one of us a living being? And He expired and He died on that cross. He didn't die as God. We understand that He is God in the flesh, but He didn't suffer as God. He suffered in the flesh. Bruce is chart number 182. Thank you. Now give me my chart number 27. Bruce has went back to Philippians chapter 2, and he still says over and over again, who existing, and then he says, that's pre-existence. That's eternal existence. So Bruce didn't have anything to say about my comments over here and the comments of his own brother, Jeff Asher. The word being is a present active participle. It does not necessarily mean eternal existence. Who being, that's present tense. Jeff Asher says the present tense verb being does not and cannot mean eternal existence. And I gave you some illustrations of how this word is used. Luke chapter 16, verse 23. And in hell he lifted his eyes, being in torments. Was the rich man in hell? Did he eternally exist in hell, Bruce? That's Calvinism. Better watch it out. He's going to be out there cultivating that ground, planting them tulips around the church. That's Calvinism, friends. And now the word form. He didn't touch this. The word form, morphe, means the external appearance. Form doesn't refer to nature. It refers to something seen. External appearance. And the word equal. In Greek, it is a neuter plural. Bishop Lightfoot said it is equality in attributes, not persons. In Philippians 2 and 6, equal to God, plural isa, attributes of God. A.T. Robertson's word pictures. And I'm sure Mr. Rees recognizes the scholarships of Bishop Lightfoot and A.T. Robertson. So Bruce brought up a passage, I believe it's chart 185. Give me his chart number 185. There it is. The term equal requires us to understand that there are at least two things of equal value or nature. For many bore false witness of him, but their testimonies did not agree. Not even them that their testimonies agreed. It's talking about the same testimony, friends. What was the same? The testimony. What was not the same? The testimony. It was not the same. Now he talked about when they worked together and they said they were equal. It's talking about the same pay. Not something that's different, it's something that's the same. In Acts 11, 16 through 17, Peter said, then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? The word like in that verse is isos. What he poured out on the Jews on Pentecost, he poured out on the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. And friends, it was the same gift. Give me Bruce's chart number. Well, hold up. Let's work on this building a little more about this word being. My chart number 28. Over and over again, Bruce says that the word existing means eternal existence. So does the word being mean eternal existence? Luke 8:41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogues. Did he eternally exist as a ruler of the synagogues? Luke 16:23. And in hell he lifted his eyes, being in torments. It's not talking about eternal existence. Acts 3 and 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Did Peter eternally exist without any money? Acts 7:55, but he being full of the Holy Ghost. There's that Calvinism again. We got one guy who eternally existed in hell. We got another guy who eternally existed full of the Holy Ghost. He's going to have some beautiful tulips around the church. Acts 16:3, for they knew all this his father was a Greek. Did his father eternally exist as a Greek? Acts 19:36, ye ought to be quiet. Sometimes I wish people eternally existed as quiet. Give me Bruce's chart number 200. Give me my chart number 28. Oh, that's it. All right, give me Bruce's chart number 204. Bruce said, was it just a human body? Friends, we've said over and over again that Jesus is God, manifest in the flesh. Was it a human body with a human spirit? Or was it God in the flesh of Jesus Christ? Friends, Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Give me my chart number 60. We presented this rebuttal and Bruce did not touch top side, bottom side, inside or outside of it. Friends, we understand that Jesus is both deity and humanity. But he did not suffer as toward his deity. How did he empty himself? Bruce says, I guess God didn't limit himself to experience death. Yes, he did limit himself to experience death. How did he experience death? Did he experience death toward his deity? Or did he experience death in his humanity? Hebrews 5 and 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers, did he pray according to his deity? No, he prayed according to his flesh. Hebrews 65 and 2, O thou that hearest prayers, unto thee shall all flesh come. God didn't pray, friends. The divine nature didn't pray. It was the humanity of Jesus Christ. O thou that hearest prayers, unto thee shall all flesh come. It was flesh, it was humanity that suffered. Christ hath also suffered for sins, being put to death in the flesh. That's how he limited himself, when he manifested himself in the flesh. Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. That's the Bible. The Bible says he suffered for us in the flesh. Deity did not suffer for us. It was flesh. Now understand, friends, Jesus is not just a human. He is deity in flesh. It was not the deity that suffered. It was the flesh that suffered. Humanity is what died in the body of his flesh through death. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Give me Bruce's chart number 58. Now, friends, I told you that Bruce was almost there. He's almost there to the truth. He's one step away. He's one article away from it. Jehovah's Witness preach that a divine spirit in flesh limited to a suffer point to die, suffer and die for us. It was not a divine spirit. Jesus is not a divine spirit of many divine spirits. Jesus is the divine spirit manifest in flesh. And I believe that was easy for you to understand. Bruce has misrepresented what I said about that. Give me my chart number 25. Let's notice some things that Bruce did not touch. Bruce referred to where Jesus said, I go to the Father. Friends, that refers to the ascension. But Bruce did not touch what we said about John 14, 16 through 17. Here are the passages that clearly tell us who the Holy Ghost is, who the Spirit of truth is. I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you. Who was the one dwelling with them? It was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was dwelling with them in the flesh, and he would be in them in the Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is the Spirit of truth, which is the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. Give me my chart number 10. There's Bruce again with his three wives. He said, there's only one womanhood. That's right. There's a lot of people in this audience tonight that possess that one womanhood. And by that same token, according to Bruce's theology, you could call this one wife. But friends, is that one wife? No, that's not one wife. That's three wives. That's polygamy. What's my time? Thank you. Give me my chart number 73. Wherefore he saith when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Did Bruce refer to this at all? Luke 12:19 says, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods. Does thou in Luke 12:19 indicate that my soul is a separate and distinct person? Again, friends, Hebrews 10 and 5 simply shows a distinction of natures in the Godhead. Chart number 45. Thank you. I am so tempted to use this rag, I don't know whose it is. Hebrews 5 and 7. Now, friends, here is the passage that it fully explains to us how Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed in the days of His flesh. Who in the days of His flesh, when He offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death and was heard in that He feared. Bruce believes that Jesus prayed as God. Friend, when God prays, He ungods Himself. We pray to God. God doesn't pray. Jesus didn't pray as God. He prayed in the days of His flesh. He prayed as a man. Now, He wasn't just a man. Those things you've heard Bruce said, those are gross misrepresentations. I've never said Jesus was just a man. He was God manifest in the flesh. But He didn't pray as God. He prayed as man. Psalm 65 and 2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Again, we have a distinction of natures. Human nature and a divine nature. It's time. Chart number 70. 70. Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, Bruce did not tell us whether or not the Father's Spirit is a separate and distinct Spirit from the Spirit of Jesus. I believe that's what he believes, that there are two separate and distinct spirits. Friends, Ephesians 4 and 4 tells us there is only one Spirit. The Spirit of the Father is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. This passage has nothing to do with the distinction of the person than the Godhead. It's talking about there was not a withdrawal of the divine Spirit. It was a withholding of divine help. Psalms 22 and 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? Friends, I want to reiterate one point. In the final minutes here, if I can get back to my chart. It's fine. Just go ahead. Well, where was Waldo? Chart number 60. Bruce and I both agree that this is the crux of the debate. Bruce believes that Jesus Christ suffered in His divine nature. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus Christ prayed in His humanity, Jesus Christ suffered in His humanity, and Jesus Christ died in His humanity. Jesus Christ was not just a human. The Son was not only human. The Son is God manifest in the flesh. He limited Himself by manifesting Himself in the flesh, and He suffered in that flesh. The difference between the two positions is that we believe the Bible truth that Jesus' humanity prayed, Jesus' humanity suffered, and Jesus' humanity died. We believe the Bible truth that the body of His flesh threw death. We believe the Bible truth that His flesh did not see corruption. I thank you for your time.
I want to thank both debaters for maintaining order, pressing their points. I hope that all in the audience will go home and quietly consider the things that have been said in the light of the Scriptures. study the Word of God, be honest with the Scriptures. I appreciate both men in the work that they've done. I think they've both been excellent in the work that they've done. I hope that all will come back tomorrow night. And tomorrow night, Mr. Weatherly's going to be in the affirmative. I didn't bring those with me, the propositions. Let me get those so I can read. Off of the computer. I'm not used to reading off of computers. The Scriptures teach that Jesus is the Father, Jesus is the Son, Jesus is the Holy Ghost. That will be the proposition that Mr. Weatherly will affirm tomorrow night and Mr. Reeves will deny. So I hope all will come back and continue this discussion of the Scriptures together. Mr. Carroll, is there anything you would like to add at this time? Well, I'll amen all of that. And so we're going to conclude our discussion tonight with a prayer, and then remember also what has been said at the beginning of this. Let the debaters do the debating. We'll just quietly consider the things that have already been said.